The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
That's why I say amen, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jonathan Hood. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago on this Bears Monday. That's where you can watch our show. And it's time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of the Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home on the on-the-go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Shay, what do you got?
Good morning, boys. How are we? How are we feeling? A little Bears loss to prime us up for Monday morning.
Yes.
Everybody feeling good?
We've been here. We've done this before. We've seen this
a few times. Yeah,
we've seen this
times, to be exact.
Shay, you know what I mean. What, you know, my whole thought about the Bears. You know, because when we made our selections before the season as far as wins and losses, there were certain games I thought the Bears would win and definitely a lot of games I thought they would lose. All I'm saying is that the Lions game and a few others, I thought the Bears would win, and they lost. And now you look at the rest of the schedule, I'm not sure where I could find another win, especially if Justin Fields is hurt. So I understand the bigger picture, but just, you know, you're 3-8, you have winnable games, and you lose. It just sucks. That's all.
You know,
to be in this position.
I'll get to Shot or No Shot right after this. But one of the more surprising things, I think, is when the Lions were 1-6 and the Bears were 3-4, the Lions are going to finish with more wins. I would have not thought that in that moment.
And if you're on the tank train like Jess and Cap, it's okay.
Well, I'm just saying at this point, lean into it. It wasn't like day one I wanted it, but as soon as you start losing some of those close ones, I'm like, lean into it. You mentioned the Lions. Okay, what's that going to get them? They don't really have a franchise quarterback. He's okay, but he's not going to, you know, and they're going to draft mid-pack. They're going to be the same old Lions. You have to sometimes take a step back to go forward, and I think that's what the Bears are doing.
All right, Jay, what do you have?
Speaking of going forward, there's been a lot of talk focused on both of the Bears' lines, with the offensive line often failing to protect Justin Fields, who was sacked four times yesterday. Well, the defensive line has not generated any pass rush at all to speak of and can't stuff the run. They really can't do anything. The Bears have lost four straight games, three of them by a field goal or less, while scoring at least 24 points in each of those losses. So my question, shot or no shot, as bad as the offensive line has been, defensive line is a larger need this coming offseason.
I'll start. I'll say shot. I'm a Braxton Jones fan. I think they found a left tackle. I think there are moments where the offensive line, certainly run blocking wise, has come together. Fields should make them better as he gets better. But you've lost every sort of pressure you used to put on the opposing quarterback. I'll say shot at that.
I have to say no shot because I can't go back on what I said and have been saying all season. And that is the most important thing that's important to me as a Bears fan is the protection and the development of Justin Fields. You have to protect. You need – I mean, Braxton Jones is okay for a fifth-round pick, but I want to make sure there's an iron gate in front of Justin Fields because it's not necessarily about running lanes, Jess. It's about being able to have enough time to throw down the field. I need that offensive line to get better. You see, it is not good. It just isn't. Like, I know that Justin holds on to the ball too long sometimes, but sometimes that offensive line is just leaky, and I need for them to be able to make some plays here to help Justin. So as much as I'd love to see a pass rush, I will say no shot to that. That offensive line and the protection of Fields is A1 for me.
Okay.
Shay.
All right, Jaquan Brisker spoke out yesterday about the lack of officiating around Justin Fields. Brisker talked about the no call on the late hit at the end of the game and said, if that was a different quarterback, it would be hella flags. If that was Tom Brady, Jared Goff, anybody like that, they throwing flags immediately.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. I like your little flourish there. You say, hella what now?
What's hella that? Flags.
Hella flags.
Hey, that's what he said, man. I gotta read the quote as he said it.
All right.
That's professionalism.
Very good.
He said, if that was Tom Brady, Jared Goff, anybody like that, they throwing flags immediately. This is usually a common refrain for run-first QBs. We've heard it a lot in the past, especially with guys like Cam Newton. It's been said about Lamar Jackson. So my question, shot or no shot, not getting late hit calls is really just a consequence of the play style.
I'm going to say shot. I think the more you run and sort of turn yourself into a running back, the more the refs probably subconsciously are going to treat you that way. And I think the less you run, when you do, you're more inclined to get the flag. So I'm going to say a shot at that.
How about this, Jesse? Help me with this. Don't you think that, I mean, for any quarterback, they're getting calls. I mean, that's the thing that really helps offense. It's not just the running game and passing. The officials will help you, too, with these ticky-tack soft calls. But at the same time, I think with more time for Justin Fields in the NFL, I think he will get more of those calls. That's what I think. I just think that because he's still young in the league, I still think that there are times where, yes, they do see him active as an active runner. But I think that with more time, he'll get more respect.
You might be. I mean, I think you're right. I think if he's an all-pro a couple years in a row, that does change. We know that. It's like, you know, Barry Bonds used to get the calls, right? But I do think the style lends itself to sometimes he runs so much, they just feel like he's part of it. It's part of his game. They're not going to get the call. Where if Brady runs, it's just not often. And when he gets hit, someone hit Brady. So I think there's a combination of both that could be true, Shay.
I think that's a shot.
Cam Newton won MVP and still wasn't getting calls. So I think it is just kind
style
of Josh Allen doesn't get a ton of late hit calls. I think it is just kind of if you run a lot, they're going to expect defenders to treat you like a runner.
But there's your inconsistency of the National Football League. And this is why you, Shay and I are college guys, because the calls, for the most part, are the calls. The idea that you can't touch a quarterback, you know, full stop in the NFL, except for certain occasions, makes no sense to me. There's always a spotlight on the quarterback and making sure that he doesn't get hurt or he's not getting hard hit. And except for a few times where officials turn a blind eye to it, the call is the call at all times. It should be, but it's not the case.
All right, I want to spin things forward a little bit. The Bears' remaining schedule is not what you might call easy. They'll play the 6-4, albeit spiraling a little bit, Jets this weekend. The Jets do have 31 sacks on the season and an elite secondary with Sauce Gardner. So that's not the easiest game ever, even with how bad their defense has been. Then you get the Packers, Eagles, Bills, resurgent Lions, and the Vikings to close out the season. Shot or no shot? The Bears will not win another game this season.
No shot. It's the NFL. They're not going to go winless. I think they ought to put all their eggs in one basket and just go after Green Bay like there's no tomorrow. Treat that as your Super Bowl.
Those eggs are cracked, buddy.
Well, maybe, but I think they can beat Green Bay. They can obviously beat Detroit. We know that. I'm going to say no shot. No shot. This is the NFL. You don't go winless for 11 straight weeks or whatever it would be.
Unless you're Houston.
That's possible.
I mean, Lovey's trying to tell you. I mean, for sure, they're going to be that's the team with the number one pick. You're looking for them? That's going to be Houston.
Yes.
I'll say no shot. And because of what Jesse said, Shay, in which you know how the NFL is, you just never know from week to week. And this is starting with the Jets game. I'm not sure the Bears can beat the Jets. And I don't even know the number yet. Have you seen the early line?
No, it's probably, let me guess. Let's guess, Shay. Look up the line for us. I'm going to say it's Bears minus -3. I'd take the simple
no shot,
simple route. Bears minus -3.
Okay, Jets. I say Jets minus -4 or -5.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah.
Maybe Bears minus -2.
What do you see, Shay? You got an early line?
Jets minus -4.
Are you serious?
There you go.
Jeez, I don't know my Vegas odds makers here. Jets minus
-2 and a half.
Say it again.
Thought it would have been like Jets 2.5.
Jets minus -4, I would take the Bears. You see the Jets yesterday?
No, I know. I know.
But come on.
But you know what? Against this, again, we'll get there.
At home?
We'll get there later on this week. But the point is that against this Bears defense.
Wait, I need my first time out of the half. Where's that game?
It's in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I take it all back. I thought that was a home game. I'm a baseball guy. I thought it was a home game. No way would I say Bears minus.
Did you say you're a baseball guy? Yeah.
Bears
Monday.
No way would I say Bears minus three at the Jets. So now the line makes a lot more sense. I thought that was a home game.
I don't think matters. Seriously, no. I mean,
if it's at home, it's a pick'em maybe. Come on.
No, the Jets will still be favored. I mean, listen.
Not by four.
They could not move the ball yesterday. Okay, fine. And Zach Wilson is, not blaming himself. He's blaming everybody else for that loss yesterday.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Okay, but at the same time, the Bears are so poor defensively that it wouldn't surprise me if the Jets beat the Bears. And it could be a low score, but still, the Jets have more playmakers. That's what it comes down to. You know, Jess, I don't have to tell you.
Oh, yeah, no,
they've
I wouldn't
got
be
more playmakers.
Absolutely would not be surprised if the Jets beat the Bears, for sure. It's another consecutive road game, East Coast, whatever. I mean, Bears aren't playing great. I'm just saying if it was at home, I think the line would be a little different. Bears would have a better chance, that's all.
I don't think it would be that much different, to be honest. Probably Jets either. Minus three.
There's no way the Jets would be favored by four on the road.
They'd probably be favored by three, though.
No, Shay's right.
I don't know.
Jesse, no, Shay's right.
Well, so you're saying there's no line difference for home field advantage?
Not anymore. Okay. If you ask anybody who makes the lines, all it's right. Like maybe a half point to a point at most.
All right.
I won't say that. I won't know, Jess. I won't say that for every team, but the Bears. Like that's the difference, right there. They don't have enough playmakers defensively. And Zach Wilson's. I think he's terrible. And I think he was overdrafted, quite frankly. So I mean,
would you rather be the Jets or the Bears? Moving forward.
Well, let's get to the next shot or no shot question, because I want to hear from somebody who was on our air this morning talking about this. Keyshawn Johnson.
Hold on. I did not answer the last question.
Didn't you? I thought you said shot.
Did I answer the question?
I don't remember. What was it?
Bears will not win another
winless.
Game
yeah,
this
you answered
season.
It. Yeah, you said no shot.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Keyshawn Johnson was on KJM this morning, as he always
is. He's good friends with Ryan Poles, I heard.
I want to get to this. Yeah,
he met him on Michigan Avenue.
He gave his 10 observations, as he does every Monday morning, and his number 5 observation was about the Bears having the brightest future in the NFL. He talked a lot about his good friend Ryan Poles. Listen to this.
I cannot wait for the Chicago Bears to get to the offseason. So I can see with my good friend and Ryan Poles, my buddy, you know, the guy that I met on Michigan Ave, and we had such an in-depth conversation about the salary cap and all the money that they're going to have in the offseason to go get Jalen, or better yet, to go get Justin Fields, some talent to put around him. Over $100+ million to spend in free agency. Draft picks galore. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait. The people of Chicago should be extremely excited about my good friend Ryan Poles.
His good friend Ryan Poles, yeah. And he added that the Bears have the brightest future of any team in the NFL. Shot or no shot? Keyshawn's right about that.
No shot. No shot. Because it's impossible to see that right now. You don't have a quarterback that's fully formed. You don't have an offense that's fully formed. You don't have a defense at all. You can't say that because you can't see it. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel necessarily. I agree with everything you said about Poles, the free agency, the money, the draft picks. But come on. There's a lot of holes to fill before you can even come close to saying that.
When you use the word future, that doesn't necessarily mean next year. Doesn't mean in 2 years. But because of what you just laid out, Jesse, the draft picks, and most importantly for me, the free agency and how you fill the free agency because of all that cap space. When I look at that, that's a shot for me because I think I'd rather be the Bears than even the Texans, who will be picking first. They're 1-8-1. I mean, I just think about it. Now, again, all of these are question marks. Everything's a question mark because you and I can see the holes on this depth chart of the things that they need on the offensive line. A weapon as a wide receiver, pass rush. You need 2 or 3 of those guys. I think you might be solidified in the secondary. But there's a lot of holes that need to be filled. And so this is why Keyshawn Johnson says that the Bears have a bright future because of all those assets. Now, again, all that's great until you can fill it. Can you fill those holes? And that's the thing. And how quickly can you do it? Bengals just got to the Super Bowl last year with a rickety offensive line. You know, so those are the things that you look at. The assets are there. Look, this is the same question if I would have asked you, Jesse, in, 2015 with the Cubs?
Mm-hmm.
That was the pieces in place?
Sure. Yeah, I would have said yes.
Same situation.
Yeah.
Same situation.
Well, are we quite – well, you think so? Are we quite there? We have one big piece,
This is Lester. This is John Lester. That's who Justin Fields is, and the rest you got to fill in.
Okay, where's Bryant and Baez and Schwarber?
Well, you have Brisker, who might be Brisker? Really good.
Yeah, I know.
You have Kyler Gordon, who is a chance. Maybe you draft Will Anderson if you end up with that top three pick. Then you get a premier pass rusher. I think you have a lot of the pieces. It's really just add a wide receiver on offense to get some consistency out of the pass game. And I think you're right there.
So good job, Shay, with shot or no shot. And don't forget, we got Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears. How bad is that shoulder for Justin Fields? You're going to find out from Courtney coming up at 8:35. We'll hear from Justin Fields and get your phone calls next. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7. Morning, 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. We're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Peggy and Dion. They always say, well, we'll figure it out. That's the mantra for Peggy and Dion Saturdays. And if you missed the show, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, taking your phone calls at 312-332-ESPN is our phone number on this Bears Monday as they lose to Atlanta, Jess.
Yeah, and I, just to recap, don't think it's all that devastating that they keep losing these games. They're putting up points. They're doing some good things. Fields was okay yesterday. Liked some of the throws, the Montgomery throw, the Mooney throw, the Komet throw. The drop back passing, though, just straight passing seems to be an issue for this team. They don't have the explosive wide receivers maybe getting open. But I'm not that devastated. I'm leaning into the tank at this point. They're up to third in the draft. Terrible play calling at the end. Didn't make a lot of sense, but I think it's indicative of what Luke Getsy is thinking in a two-minute drill. I've got to use his legs, where normally you would just drop back and start getting some chunks with your arm, but we're not quite there yet. The second design run there at the end just was disastrous. Just a terrible call. Guy's already hurting. His legs are hurting. His shoulder's hurting. Let's run him inside with no time on the clock, and we've got to get a field goal. I can't wait to hear what Luke gets. Maybe he didn't know that he was hurting. Maybe he was so looking at his play call, she didn't realize his shoulder was half off and his legs were cramping. I mean, I don't understand what that second run call was. I could live with the first one if you force me to live with it, not the second one, Jay Hood. So those are my thoughts to recap the morning here. What do you think?
Well, you know, what I think is I care about the development of Justin Fields. It's number one, probably through 10 for me, because I know what this season was going to be. It was going to be an underachieving season where it's an evaluation season to find out who can play and who can't. So I totally get that. But when it comes to Justin Fields, after the game, he got a chance to talk to the press about when he was injured and how it affected his throwing motion, how he's feeling. This is Justin Fields after the game.
Yeah, it was the first play of the last drive. I don't even know what happened, to be honest with you. I think I just landed on it or something like that. So, yeah, it was just hurting after that. I think so, a little bit. So, like, the pain right now is pretty bad. But, you know, again, I'll just take it day by day and see how it feels later in the week. No, I don't think it was that shoulder. I'm not even sure. I was just the same amount of pain, to be honest with you. Like, I think I told the trainers, I think it was the first play, but I told them when I got to the sideline it was the second play. But I think looking back at it was the first play. So just, you know, back to back plays.
First play, second play, that guy is hurt.
too many.
Well, I'm here to tell you right now, Jess, if he is hurting or if he feels like that he can't go, he doesn't have to play against the Jets for me. What he has to prove to me is that once the Bears do have talent, or if the talent gets better next season, that he can be able to, on a regular basis, you know, throw the ball down the field to get huge yardage, the offensive line holding up for him, and that he can run with the football. All of that together, right? And that's the formula for me for him and the Bears to be able to flourish offensively. So if he's shut down, if he doesn't play again this season because of that shoulder, yes, it's not his throwing shoulder, but it's still a pain that he's going through. He's got leg cramps and everything else. That's all, to me, telling me that it's time for something else, something new.
Well, you know, Adam in Boston kind of has your thought as well. But Adam, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to get into the field thing, but just four words really quick.
Yes, sir.
Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher, Sanborn.
Oh, Jack Sanborn.
Get the yellow jacket ready.
That's good.
He's the guy.
That was good. That was good.
So don't worry about the defense. We got to worry about the offense. We have our Hall of Famer on defense. Here's the deal. Field should fit. Get healthy, but more importantly, Simeon's a better passer. Fields holds the ball with open receivers. Mm-hmm. On the play to St. Brown, that was because he scrambled around and got St. Brown. Early in the play, Kmet was in the same place St. Brown was with no one on him. Yes. Fields looked at him and didn't throw him the ball.
Well, why would you sit them that he needs to do? He needs to see it more.
Because sometimes you can learn more in the balcony than on the dance floor. He's been on the dance floor, put him in the balcony for a couple games, ice his shoulder, then get him back out there and have him do it.
This isn't the days of Aaron Rodgers where, you know, he sits behind Favre for 4 years.
To get healthy. I'm just saying he could help him.
Well, if he's not healthy, different.
I'm not saying the rest of the year sit him.
Yeah.
I'm saying let him rest up, but have him take a step back and watch when you're supposed to throw the ball on rhythm, which he never does. He doesn't have the confidence to let go of the ball on rhythm.
Yeah.
That's why he holds it. And luckily, he can run like anyone, and we've got a total playmaker, but he's still got to learn to throw the ball when he's supposed to throw the ball, especially with open receivers. It's not the receiver's fault. Fields is not a good quarterback throwing the ball. He's great. He's exceptional at everything else. He holds it too long.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with a lot of that. I think the better the receiver, the more open they are, the more jump balls they can get, the more confident the quarterback will become. So it's a combo. But I think that criticism is right. Don't you, Jay Hood?
I do. But it's all about growing pains and learning as the season progresses into the next season. Again, this is not the finished product as soon as he's drafted by the Bears.
Right.
And you mentioned last hour something that people need to put a pin in, and that is the Bears coaching staff was not ready for Justin Fields against Cleveland last year because they did not bring, they didn't have a fullback on the roster. They didn't add a tight end to be able to block. Justin got blown up and he got destroyed against Cleveland last year because of the ineptitude from Nagy.
Right.
This season here, he's learning to be able to run out of the pocket. You notice there's a fullback on the roster now in Blassen game. You've seen the tight end being able to chip a little bit. So they're trying to give him time to run, but the passing game has to be able to come along as well. And again, I believe it will in time, but just not today.
Right, and that's why I think that two-minute drill was so indicative, such a microcosm of what's happening there. They run two run plays because that's their best plays in their mind right now. Their quarterback running the ball, even though they were kind of dumb plays, the second one especially, they're just not ready to drop back and pass, get some chunks. Then you usually see the opposing defense tighten up, and you know, from the 50 to the 30 is where it gets the real game begins. But they couldn't even get a few chunks, and that is sort of indicative of the offense right now.
Yeah, no question about it.
Let's go to Chris in Phoenix. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
What's up, Chris?
What's going on, man? I just want to say, you know, the Bears, I keep telling people, the Bears, they're setting up for the future. So they're going to give you some entertaining games. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're gonna lose. And that's what they need to do. In the offseason, I believe, if I was Ryan Poles, after the season is done, I would definitely try to go get Orlando Brown and Isaiah Wynn to secure some of that offensive line help. Because unless you do that, I don't care what quarterback you have. He is nothing without an offensive line. And with us having this draft, this high draft pick, you can solidify another position in the draft and go get Will Anderson. So now you kill two birds with one stone. There's no good wide receivers, like dominant wide receivers, in college right now. So you may have to wait another year. But you want to solidify both lines, go get Orlando Brown. You can get De'Ron Payne in free agency. That solidifies your D tackle and your offensive line. And then you can get somebody else, you know. But you have to protect Justin Fields. Right now, I would sit him. He's hurt. Let him learn on the sideline. If need be, we can find a team that's thirsty, and they're looking. We can trade back and get extra picks if we need to.
That's probably what's going to happen. That's probably what will happen, Chris. Thanks, man. Jay Hood, this sit Fields thing, we haven't even talked to Courtney Cronin yet. I mean, for all we know, he slept on it. He's fine. Put some ice. Get him back out. Let's at least hear the diagnosis before we say let's sit him.
You're a masochist. You just wanted to get killed, for God's sake, Jess.
No, I just wanted to get as many reps as possible and have some momentum going into the offseason, even if they go 3-14.
Well, I wanted him to have a couple of wins under his belt
against
in winnable situations against winnable teams. You know, that's what I wanted, but now I can't hope for that because look at the rest of the schedule. There's some juggernauts that the Bears are going to play, and the Bears, Justin Fields or not, won't be able to win those ball games because they just don't have enough.
Well, we didn't think they'd win in New England, especially the way they did, and they did, so you never know where they could pop up with a win or two, but I don't think you should really care either way. It's a win-win. They win, you have a good Sunday afternoon. They lose, that draft position goes up, and good things happen come April.
Yeah, and hopefully that draft pick reminds you of Velus Jones.
Yes, I agree. You got to get that right.
Hey, he was in the special teams, which I like that. He was able to get a nice return, but at the same time, like, okay, he can't get in the passing game at all? My God.
And Patterson said, hold my beer.
Oh, my God. If anybody, you didn't want him to score, it's that guy. Patterson, the old Bear, coming through.
Difference in the game, I guess, right? I mean, we don't know what happens if he doesn't score, but... in a tight game with two even teams, a special teams touchdown like that can be the difference, you know.
Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears as we are talking to you on this Bears Monday with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you right here on Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears insider. And Irish dancer?
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Glad to be with us here on this Bears Monday morning on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for being with us. It's time to talk to Courtney Cronin about the Bears and their loss against the Atlanta Falcons. Courtney, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing fine, thank you. Give us your overall thoughts. It seems like deja vu, as Jesse mentioned, of the same kind of scenario. Bears have a chance to win late and they fall short. What are your overall thoughts on the game yesterday?
Yeah, I know that the play calling in the final, you know, their two-minute drive and three plays they got before, you know, the interception, that's coming under fire right now. And there's some criticism just about why there'd be two called runs for a quarterback in a situation where he's clearly feeling it with his legs. We saw Justin Fields getting his hamstrings, some treatment on that during the fourth quarter. I asked him about it after the game, and he said, you know, he was cramping pretty good the entire fourth quarter. Maybe that has something to do with playing indoors. He did say he was like sweating more. He could tell a little bit after the game, and it just kind of felt different. But, you know, that. It's the same story a lot of times that's like playing out in different, you know, similar ways and different ways. I mean, for them with like less than 2 minutes to go to have a chance to go and win the game. I mean, like they players have told us for a long time repeatedly ever since the Washington game that they wanted that opportunity again. They hope they'd have that opportunity again. And then when they do have that opportunity, it gets squandered. And I think that there's a lot at play there. There's the play calling. There's obviously the injury that the quarterback was dealing with and kind of a situation where I think as much as I probably wouldn't have called two design runs there, like there's Luke Getsy's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. The quarterback just hurt his shoulder. It's affecting his throwing motion. He told us as much after the game. So what are you supposed to do in those final moments? I mean, that's a really tough call, but man, I mean, you look at what Fields did throughout the game, and I know that he's a dynamic threat with his legs, but he's running too much. 14 times in the first half. That's the most by any quarterback in 30 years. So, I mean, it's just putting him in a situation right now where I think they've got to start thinking about the long-term ramifications of continuing to play him, especially this way, the rest of the season when they're a 3-8 football team.
Well, why not play him a little different then? A few less design runs and let him work on something he needs to work on, which is pocket passing, and, you know, the results be the results, unless, of course, you think he's just going to get killed. But look, this is big-time football. You know, you can't say sit him for six games because you don't love your offensive line or you can't run him anymore. Why not just let him pass the ball a little bit more and just run a little bit less?
Yeah, I mean, there's validity to that, Jesse. And I think that, you know, the pass protection is obviously still an issue. There are moments that it looks okay, and there's moments where it doesn't. So what risk are you doing putting a quarterback behind that? I agree. You can't just like put him on ice and, you know, keep him away from everything until all of a sudden your offensive line's magically fixed next year. It probably isn't going to look like that. I mean, this stuff takes time. Look at the Detroit Lions, how many years they spent dedicating to adding to their offensive line. It's not something that necessarily gets fixed overnight. It should look a lot better next year. But, I mean, the thing right now is how injured is Fields? How bad is that shoulder? Because that's going to determine what you do the rest of the season, what the course of action is. Now, I think that when we find out the extent of this one and thinking about what it means against the really good Jets pass rush, probably not the wisest decision to play him next week. But that doesn't necessarily mean for the next 7 weeks of the season, and they do have their bye coming up in week 14, that you just rest him. They've got to be more strategic with it. And I do think they should start finding ways to put him in situations where he can focus on being a passer. There were some good moments yesterday. I mean, the touchdown on the first drive to Darnell Mooney, and I mean, you think about the Cole Kmet catch. That was a great throw too. And then, of course, when he tells David Montgomery, you know, he points at him to go up the sideline and go vertical. Like, that's Justin starting to see things. Granted, yes, that wasn't a pocket throw. That was a throw on the run. Like, he's starting to see things better, and I think that he is starting to emerge as a passer. But it is in such short order that should be more of a priority than utilizing him on designed runs, on scrambles. I mean, he's going to do that regardless if the play breaks down, but trying to like take some of that away so he can focus on other things, that should be where their focus is.
Courtney, as we know, there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. And so the first sign when we heard Justin tell you and the rest of the press that he had issues with his legs, you know, as far as soreness from running and now the cramps that he's dealing with as well. Could you foresee a situation where Justin does not play because not just for the shoulder, but for the legs as well?
I mean, I think that would be, I don't think you rule that out at all for this next game against the Jets, considering again, how good that pass rush is. And the fact is he's run 80 times over the last three games and been sacked 22 times in that same stretch. He's feeling it. Like, I mean, there's no denying that this is a quarterback who's tough as nails. We know that. But at some point, I think you've got to step in and say, what's the smart long-term play and potentially and taking out any sort of potential risk of making this thing worse? Like, you have Trevor Siemian as a backup. I think that it's, at this point, I mean, they're 3-8. Like, it's, you know, I don't really know what more you can gain from playing Justin Fields in a situation, especially this coming week, where he could injure himself even more. And again, we are going to hear, we'll talk to Matt Eberflus today, find out the extent of the injury. But beyond that, I just think you have to like consider the evaluation process on Fields is still there, but he doesn't need to prove himself anymore with anything with his legs, anything like that. You have to take into consideration like the long-term ramifications of what happens if he injures this thing even more. And so that's going to be an evaluation from the medical staff. It's going to be on the coaching staff too, because this is somebody who wants to play. He didn't, not that anybody would have expected him to, but he gets injured there in the final drive and he's still going back in knowing that his throwing motion is, you know, going to be completely affected by his left shoulder and landing on it awkwardly when he was tackled and going out of bounds. And then of course the next play, he slides and Grady Jarrett's helmet hit him right in that same area. Like, he was dealing with it. It's just, I think you've got to protect the player from the player in certain moments, because it's not somebody who is going to want to come out and not play games.
Probably should have handed off at that point. You know, he didn't want to throw because that was hurting, didn't want to run because of the cramping. So probably just hand the ball off. But I mean, if they're trying to win, you got to get some chunk yards, and none of those plays were going to do that. Visiting with Courtney Cronin for a few more minutes here on ESPN 1000. So we won't know till like Wednesday if he's going to play this weekend, right, Courtney? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that something's going to end up coming out here before then, just in terms of like the extent of the injury. We will hear from Matt Eberflus today. Justin got an x-ray at the same time, like after the game, he got an x-ray and he got an IV. And he said that he wasn't quite sure if this was going to be something he could play through, meaning like a pain tolerance thing, or whether it's something that he's going to have to take some time to let heal. But I would imagine, you know, it just makes sense for this week to be a Trevor Siemian game, knowing that your quarterback just hurt his shoulder. Yes, it's not his throwing shoulder, but the wear and tear of the last few weeks and the culmination of all of these hits that he's taking, but not even just that, his legs. Like he told us last week, his legs felt heavy against Detroit. And I remember talking to him during the week and saying, like, how do you manage it? Because it has to be more than just, oh, I'm not going to run gassers after practice, or I'm going to, you know, not run as much in practice. There has to be a way to account for that in the game plan, because when you're putting him in situations where he's got to be dynamic with his legs, I mean, running 14 times, only 5 of those were scrambles. And so effectively you think a play breaks down. Well, that's Justin five of 14 times choosing to do something with his legs instead of like throwing the ball away or instead of whatever. Like, but those other called runs, that's too much. It's a load that I think is starting to really show that it's wearing on him, and there has to be a way going forward, whether it's sitting him for a game or two, to just like manage that, that you have to take that approach or at least consider it for the long-term health of your offense and your quarterback.
Courtney, how do you evaluate the Bears' defense where there's no sacks on Mariota, but at the same time you see some good plays from Brisker, some from Sanborn? So how do you weigh what the Bears did defensively against Atlanta?
Yeah, the turnover was good. I mean, obviously Jaquan Brisker is a star. His instincts are uncanny, and I think that the Bears fans can feel really good about what this team did with that second round pick and getting him, and knowing he's going to be a part of this defense for a long time. So yeah, there were good moments. I think towards the end of the game when they hold Atlanta to a field goal to make it 27-24, that was a big stop for this defense. But again, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record because they're just not pressuring the quarterback, and it's really difficult for them to do it. They've been trying, and they sent a couple blitzes, especially early on. They were trying to dial up more pressure. They just can't seem to get it with this group. And, you know, this is kind of more of the same with this unit each week. I think holding Atlanta to, you know, keeping them to 27 points, I guess it's not an onslaught, but it's nothing you walk away from feeling like super great about. And there are just so many momentum swings in this game. Like, you think back to the missed field goal, and then they start at their own 46, and it's like a minute and 10 seconds, and they score again. Like, that, you know, you look at – that's not just on the defense there for allowing that touchdown and allowing big chunk plays. I mean, the first drive was like 16, 13, and 13 yards. Like, that's kind of the common theme here with this defense, just allowing really big plays that – don't necessarily like feel like it's not like 50 yard touchdowns. They don't feel big in the moment, but they add up really quickly. So that's probably where my focus would be on this week with the defense. I mean, you got to still try to figure out ways to generate pressure, but knowing that they are getting contributions from players who will be part of this team next year, an undrafted free agent like Jack Sanborn, that's a great story, especially with his turnover on special teams, and some of the younger guys too. I mean, that's a good takeaway, for a silver lining, so to speak, for this team as they, you know, have to go through it the rest of the way.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, and coming up next, Zach Wilson loves to drive the bus over his own team. That's next with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We got to be detailed, you know, all of us. You know, it started during the week in practice, coaching, all of that, man. We all got to be more detailed. We all got to have a better plan. It's not okay. I mean, straight up, it's not okay. We had how many total yards we had?
A little over 100.
Yeah, that's not gonna fly. So, you know, we got the dudes. It's time. You know, it's time to be consistent. It's time to start winning the games we should win. It's time to do all that.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
So, Garrett Wilson of the Jets says it's not okay for the offense and the defense not to be able to help win against the Patriots. And Zach Wilson, the quarterback for the Jets, says, you know, when asked, did you think that you let the defense down with that putrid effort of just 3 points? Nope, they let him down.
And you're worried about the Jets next week, Jay Hood? Come on. the Bears plus the points, for God's sake.
Well, let me just tell you this. It's Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood on Cap and Jay Hood. We're going to hear from Alex Brown coming up in 8 minutes here on ESPN 1000. You know, listening to ESPN New York this morning, they're concerned about the Bears, and they're concerned about Justin Fields because of the amount of points that the Bears have put up. It's just funny, the perception that's out there, right? Like, who knows if Justin even is going to play on Sunday, but the idea that the Jets, that actually had a pretty good season, can't move the ball against the Patriots, they're concerned that, hey, the Bears are going to come into town in New Jersey and beat them. Who knows what's going to happen? But just I just want to focus on Zach Wilson, who I think was overdrafted. Shay, you tell me, coming out of the draft, and we watch a ton of college football, I was just not enamored with Zach Wilson to think he was going to be the number two pick in the draft. And then he's just there bluntly just saying, nah, we didn't let him down. I mean, clearly you have, because the offense was bad against the Patriots yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was overdrafted, and I think he's a Richard. I mean, this guy, like, you got to be better than that, man. You were terrible. 9 of 22. You didn't get to 80 yards, and you're going to say you didn't let the defense down when the defense played like that?
Yeah, you know, the reporter is thinking he's leading him to a certain answer, and Zach, to shut it down.
Well, you're throwing him a softball is what you're doing.
Totally.
You just go out, take some accountability, say, yeah, I got to watch more film. Yeah, I got to be better, this and that.
Yeah.
It's easy. It doesn't have to mean anything. You don't even have to do it. It's just a softball answer to look good. Instead, no, I didn't let anybody down. And then, Hoodie, did you see the report from SMY last night?
I was watching SMY. What happened?
They said in the locker room after the game, there were players saying Zach Wilson was walking around like he's not the problem, and it rubbed people the wrong way.
Mm. See, I mean, again, thinking he's born on third base, you know, and think he hit a home run, that's a bad spot there, Jesse. Like, he comes across as if he is the guy, and maybe he will be, but when you have performances like that, even if you do have that confidence, you got to swallow it, man. You can't let it show. You can't.
And if you're,
because teammates see that.
Yeah, and if teammates are whispering to reporters about what they feel in the locker room, I assume it was anonymous, you know, that's not good. That's not good. You want to keep a cohesive group. And if teammates are talking behind the quarterback's back, that's as bad as it gets, because that's supposed to be the leader by definition. So you don't hear crap like that, you know, about Fields, for example, even though they've had some offensive problems this year. Everybody seems united about him. Now, if that SNY report is true, that's not good. That's
so
not good.
So now what we're watching for with the Bears playing the Jets this weekend, are we going to see Flacco?
I think you should. It would increase your chances to win, for me, as a veteran quarterback. And again, because the Bears don't have enough pass rush, you would think that that would be probably the play for them. But who knows?
Remember, who knows? We're only, 2 weeks removed from them beating the Bills? So
yeah.
Who knows what which Jets team is going to show up? All I know is the Bears went to New England and crushed them, and then New England escapes against the Jets. So how bad are the Jets? But then again, they're 6-4 and beat the Bills. So you just never know.
This NFL is so wacky. You don't know what's going to happen from week to week. What is why people watch, because of the unpredictability.
Well, that the money, yeah.
Oh, yes. Never mind about the money. Yes, the money. Yes, the gambling. Yes. Right. You already got the Bears winning, which you're setting your own line.
I do. Right, exactly. Got the Bears favorite in this game.
They're a 3-point favorite. Yee-yee-yees, Jesse Rogers.
Time out. It's a road game.
Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you. We're going to hear from the great Alex Brown. That's coming up next on a Bears Monday in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.